Listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh boy, we're in for a treat, as we are every week, because this is the fulfillment of a dream. Daily I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives, so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes! And so with that in mind, we have a beacon, we have a laser of love to find the most wonderful folks out there to help lift us higher on our path of fulfillment. And as we get started today, I want to take a brief moment to acknowledge our sponsor, which is the Comfort Technology. Don't know how many of you have had problems or noticed with our high-tech world. Now, more and more electric energy all over the place. First it was the wiring, and then all the appliances, and then, wow, then there's the cell phones, and then there's the Wi-Fi networks, and then there's the smart meters, and here in Denver, even the water department uses a smart meter, uses a broadcast instrument to send signals back to its place. So we are just so inundated with these kind of energies, and sadly, they're creating a lot of stress. The World Health Organization went so far last May to declare these kind of energies as a Class 2B carcinogen, like with the category of lead, DDT, and some other things. So check out advancedlivingcomfort.com. You will find a Clark Kent clock with superpowers that when you plug it in, these harmonized energies will not only protect you, they will uplift you. So check it out. Remember, advancedlivingcomfort.com. And now, oh, if that wasn't yummy, well, get ready. Strap yourself in for yummy time. Why? Because our guest today, amazing, amazing. What if you could have some super healthy food, and at the same time, what if that food was incredibly delicious, was fun, it was easy to do, and yes, best of all, sexy. Yes, yummy. Somewhere between food and sex, right? You're going to love this, and maybe both together. Oh, we're just going to tune in because we've got a fabulous guest, Brian Patton, who has just walked an incredibly fun path and is now sharing with us in his new book, The Sexy Vegan Cookbook, Extraordinary Food from an ordinary dude. Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I think he's at least extraordinary when you listen to him and you decide, folks. Now, what a little about Brian. He was, after graduating from college, living at home in his parents' house in Pennsylvania. Doesn't sound too dangerous yet. And he'd studied public relations. He graduated with that and of course, had an expensive education. Didn't quite have a job at that time, unfortunately. And so what is a person with an education and no work to do? Yes, exactly. You turn on the cooking channel. And he watched lots of cooking shows and thought to himself, I could do that. And so he did. He taught himself the wonderful craft of cooking by preparing meals for his parents. And his culinary education continued when he moved to Los Angeles. And he found a cooking job where he learned the ins and outs of professional cooking. And we'll just get into some amazing things about what took him on the path to becoming a vegan and a chef and a guy that has this amazing relationship with asparagus and lots of other good things. So welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Kenneth. Thank you. I do love my asparagus. This is true. You speak
yes.
the truth.
When people take a look at the picture with you. And
yes. That's a fun picture.
Yes, it is. Now, I'm just kind of wondering here. We have this book, The Sexy Vegan Cookbook. How did you come to write your book?
Well, it was kind of an unconventional situation. After I had become vegan, a friend of mine, you know, I was speaking with him, and he was telling me about, you got to check out this website called YouTube.com. And I was like, what are you talking about? I never even heard of this. So he then described to me what you can do by posting your own videos, and you can say whatever you like, and it's an open platform. You can do whatever you want. And I thought, wow, that sounds awesome. I can't believe that exists. So I immediately started thinking, maybe I'll do like a little cooking show, like a little sort of almost like a spoof on the cooking shows that I, you know, would love to watch at that time. So I put together a little video. It was very basic guacamole, but it was sort of offbeat and funny, I guess, and just kind of presented in a little bit of a different way than the regular type cooking show. Complete with lots of profanity and toilet humor. which I've backed off from since, but you know, back in 2006 I was a young brash kid, you know. So I started making these videos. I made that first video, and then it just started. I got passed around. I guess people would send the links. I guess people were entertained by it. And I wouldn't say that it went viral by any stretch, but it did start to get a lot of views really quickly.
Mm.
About 25,000 views in the first month and a half or so.
Oh, my.
It was pretty weird. Like, all of a sudden, I started getting 1,000 views a day, and I'm like, what is happening here? How is this happening? But anyway, so people started emailing me and posting, like, comments, you know, some nice comments, some not-so-nice comments, because, you know, as you know, when you have, if you're into what's considered an alternative lifestyle, which I guess is what veganism is considered, you get a lot of haters and a lot of people criticizing and, you know, saying bad things. But, you know, I think that's entertaining. That doesn't bother me. They're just people I don't know, so who cares? But you know, I was compelled to make more videos because I was getting a mostly positive response from that first video. So as I made more videos, I established a website and a MySpace page, may it rest in peace. I got Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, Pinterest, you know. Over the years, I just accumulated these, you know, different social networking things. And then one day I sat down at my computer, I opened my email, and there was a message from somebody claiming to be a book publisher. And they said, would you like to write a cookbook? Have you ever thought of writing a cookbook? And I said, well, okay, that sounds good. Well, first I had to actually do a little research to make sure that this was like a real person from an actual company, because it would not have been the first time that my friends had gotten one over on me via email Yeah, I have great friends. I think I need new friends, actually.
There you go.
But anyway, so that's how it happened. It was just sort of out of the blue. I wasn't, out there trying to look to write a cookbook. I had definitely been thinking of one. I definitely thought it would have been a self-published one, at least the first one anyway. But I don't know. It was just sort of a convergence of luck and preparation and it just all kind of came together, I suppose.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad because I have other friends who are actual writers who have written for TV shows, who have written books, and they're, trying to sell their books, and it's difficult to do.
Yeah.
And it just sort of fell into my lap, so I'm very thankful for that. It's very...
As writers go, a lot of people, like you say, self-publish, and they're struggling for years.
Yeah.
These folks... approach you with a check in their hand for you?
Well, it was a meager check. You get the advance while you're writing the book, which was small, and then just residuals afterwards. But
good,
I haven't seen that yet. But the book is just out, so I imagine.
Exactly.
I imagine it's quarterly. I really don't have any. People always ask me like, "Oh, how many books have you sold?" I don't know. Well, when do you get your residuals? I don't know. I'm just riding the wave.
Sure, absolutely. Well, that's great. Now, mentioned becoming a vegan, and I'm curious. There's different things. You may have been born into a vegan household, or you know, saw whatever the Virgin Mary on a biscuit or something. what was the defining moment that helped you to decide to become a vegan?
I did. Jesus appeared to me in a block of tofu. It was the weirdest thing.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I had started working for my friend had a company. It was called it's called Veggin' Out. It's a vegan home delivery service.
Mm.
We service all of Southern California, actually.
Wow.
And my friend owns the company. I started working for them just doing prep work in the kitchen because I had food experience at that point. And they also hired me to do marketing. And just various other office type work as well. So I was the only vegan or the only non-vegan or vegetarian working there, and I thought, okay, well, I was very out of shape. I had many bad habits: smoked a lot, drank a lot, ate a lot of meat and cheese, and just bad food in general, processed food. I was addicted to Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supremes for a very long time. Which I have yet to veganize yet, but I am working on it.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yes. I thought, okay, well, I was about 260 pounds, which would be great if I was 8 feet tall, but alas, I am 5 feet 9 inches tall, so that is not great.
Ooh.
And it was not muscle, believe me.
Ah.
So I thought, well, I have access to this vegan food. I'm learning how to cook. I'm just learning about where to get different vitamins and minerals and nutrients and stuff from non-meat food. I mean, not that me in my current state was concerned with vitamins and minerals when I was eating Crunchwrap Supremes, but I thought I'd try it for a month. I said, okay, I'll be vegan for a month. I'll see how I feel by the end of the month. I'll kind of keep track of the way I feel and see if I lose any weight or if I get, if I have increased energy. And then I'll go back to eating, maybe a healthier version of my standard American diet that I was eating. So, by the end of that first month, I had a lot more energy, which led me to exercise more. I would hit the gym at 5 in the morning because I'd wake up and I'd feel like I have all this extra energy and I have nowhere to put it. So I go to the gym or I go for a run, and it just became this virtuous cycle. So I thought, okay, I could do this for another month. Let me try 2 months. So I went 2 months and I felt even better. And basically by the end of the second month, I was like, I'm pretty good. I don't think I need to eat. I don't think I need to go back to my other way of eating. This is really working for me. So by the end of 10 months, I had dropped about 60 pounds. And it wasn't, it wasn't like I wasn't dieting. I didn't think I was dieting. I was just eating differently. And it was weird because I started thinking, oh, I want to lose weight. But then it sort of shortly after I began, it wasn't about losing weight anymore. It was just about being healthy on the inside. And then that began to show on the outside. I started, you know, not being so ripply blubbery, and also my complexion got better. The whites of my eyes got whiter. People were complimenting me on my skin tone. They're like, "Oh, your skin looks great. What are you doing?" I said, "I don't know. I just started eating plants." You know.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was quite a transformation, and it's just changed my life, you know, immeasurably.
Anything that you would say was a transformation in terms of your attitude, any kinder, gentler experiences that, you know, surprised you about, wow, I'm becoming this beautiful sweetheart from the inside out?
Absolutely. I mean, I like to think I was a pretty nice guy anyway, but when I really realized that something in me had, like, kind of profoundly changed was... one day I was sitting in my apartment, and a big spider goes walking across the floor. Now, any other day of my entire life, of my 20-some-odd years at the time that I had lived, I would have walked over to that spider, stomped it out of existence, and gone about my day. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, in that moment, I walked over to the spider, I got a cup and a piece of paper, and I trapped the spider, and I put the piece of paper underneath, walked over, opened the door, and let the spider out into the outside world. And at that moment, as I was doing that, my roommate saw me walking back in with a cup and a piece of paper, and he said, what are you doing? He said, did you just take that spider outside? I said, yeah, I don't know, but I guess I don't kill the spiders anymore either. It was probably like maybe 6 months after I had become vegan.
Yeah,
and it was just this. I didn't even think about it. But after I did that, I thought to myself, "Why did I do that? What prompted me to do that?" Yesterday, I would have stamped that spider out of existence. And I think just because of my diet, it does kind of make you think more clearly. Just not having a bunch of processed foods, you're having a clean diet. All of your organs are functioning at a better level, and your blood is flowing better. Everything is kind of a more well-oiled machine, so obviously your brain function is going to be better. So I think that just led me to sort of connect more with the environment around me.
Wow.
So just by having eaten this plant-based diet, being separated from the, you know, the sort of bad energy that comes with you know, consuming animals and taking a life to feed your own life. Once that I was I had distance between that, I was able to kind of see the world in a different way, and I thought, you know, we don't really know what we are in the universe. We're a planet that's flying around a sun. We don't know. Maybe we're just a spider that hasn't been stomped on yet. You know, who knows what's out there walking around bigger than us? So I think I take that and I look at the spider and I think, well, this spider's just going about its day. He's not doing anything, just like I'm going about my day. Maybe I could be stomped out of existence. So, you know, that was sort of the major, I call it my spider moment. And that was the moment that I realized that it was more than just a way of eating. It was a way of living.
Yeah. Wow. Brian, that's very exciting, because
yes,
people are looking for ways to, as the Dalai Lama says, with the one you do one thing, it's like be a little more kind.
Yep.
And so, and that came to you not from years of meditating or all this other stuff. You were able to experience that by shifting your biochemistry from eating a healthier diet. And wow, this is great.
Yes, I do believe that, you know, that definitely is the main reason, is just that, you know, what I said, my everything was functioning at a, I don't know, higher level or a more intense level or whatever, and I just had this shift in perspective, I guess.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. And I'm also curious that people are going to be wondering about this book. Would you give us I don't know if it's on a website, or how do we find more about you, get the book?
Sure. I have my website, which is thesexyvegan.com. And there's links to where you can buy the book, like on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. You can buy the book in any bookstore, pretty much. And then there's also links there. I'm on Facebook/TheSexyVegan, Twitter.com/TheSexyVegan. So those are the things I use a lot. And I also use Instagram, which is like an iPhone or a mobile phone app where you take pictures. You can put these cool filters on them and then, kind of make them look vintage or whatever. And it's a lot of fun for taking food photos and sharing them with other people who are interested in that. Basically, I post a lot of pictures of food, because I'm cooking all the time. So sometimes they're failed dishes, but I still take a picture of them and put them out there and say, I just did this. Don't do this. It sucks. So fix it this way or something like that.
Yeah.
So I try to share.
Okay.
People like seeing food pictures, so I
sure.
try to provide that.
Because
I like looking at food pictures, too.
Yeah. Well, someone said that in a meal, we eat with our eyes first.
Absolutely.
So that's great. Now, I'm just over here thinking to myself, there's going to be some folks that are going to listen to this and go, okay, life-changing, lose weight, feel better, more kindness, more conscious vibration.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be kind of thinking, well, what do I do to begin this lifestyle? So do you have some advice?
Absolutely. I think the very first thing you do, I have a problem sometimes with when the vegans among us are kind of more militant and pushy about pushing the vegan, agenda onto people. And
yeah, like that
bumper sticker
that says, "Become a vegan or I'll kill you."
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty funny. But yes, stuff like that kind of attitude is there's definitely a lot of that, and. And I don't, so if I take you into a room and I show you a video of a factory farming situation where a pig's getting beheaded and, and it's really awful, that person in that moment, it will freak out and they'll say, okay, that's it. I have to be vegan right now. I must. This is too much badness. I don't want to be a part of this. So then they go home and they're like, okay, I'm vegan. Now what do I do? Like, what does that even mean? I don't even know. So what do I do? Take the turkey burgers out of my freezer and replace them with veggie burgers, and then I'm going to be this great healthy person? No, that is not the case. You can't just flip that switch like that unless you have the tools to do it. So I say you have to take an interest in your food first, no matter what you're cooking or what you're eating. Don't get a processed package thing. Don't get cut up broccoli for florets. You know what? Get a whole stalk of broccoli, cut it up yourself. Get into the whole process of cooking. I know a lot of people are like, I don't have time for that. Well, you got to make time, okay? There's two things that you need to do in order to survive, breathing and eating, basically. So one of them takes care of itself. You breathe, you don't even think about it. And the other thing, for most people, is just an afterthought. You just grab something fast food, grab a frozen dinner, whatever, and eating is tied for first place in the things that keep you alive. So you need to make that time. Don't watch the second hour of the American Idol results show take time and learn about your food. And slowly, as you, if you go to a farmer's market or even to a grocery store, there's so many vegetables. There's so many. And, every day I go to a farmer's market still, and I see something that I've never seen before. So there's just so much variety, and you could just take that piece by piece. Just, go to a grocery store and pick up a vegetable you've never seen before and do something with it. Maybe it'll be bad, maybe it'll be good, but at least you tried. And you'll see that it sort of becomes a fun kind of contest with yourself to try to take new things and learn how to make them. And before you know it, now you know how to make all these vegetables, so maybe that piece of meat on your plate gets a little smaller because now you're surrounding it with all these homemade things that you're proud of that you can make. So I think taking an interest in your food is the very first step because what will happen, and what I see happen all the time, is someone will do that. They'll do the thing where they'll become vegan on the spot without thinking about or researching how to get this, protein or calcium or vitamins, minerals. They'll just, stock up with veggie burgers and Oreo cookies because they're vegan too. but that doesn't mean they're good for you.
No.
They just happen to be vegan. But anyway, So, and then, you know, a few weeks later, they're like, oh, man, why? I kind of feel tired still. Like, why don't I have this energy that all these vegans say that they have? And then they'll go, oh, I have to go back. I have to go eat. I'll just eat some meat, and that'll give me more energy, or I'll have this or that, or some fish or something. And they think that it's that. And then they'll go back to feeling the way they were before. But the problem is that it wasn't because it was because how they were being vegan. You still have to eat whole vegetables. You have to, you know, the ultimate food is walking up to a plant like a tomato, picking the tomato off and eating it on the spot. That way you're getting your the most nutrients, the most flavor out of that tomato. So you want to eat as close to the vine as possible, basically. And that's where that energy comes from. So this person who has had this bad experience because they ate veggie burgers and Oreos, now they go and tell 10 people, oh, yeah, I was vegan for a month, and, man, I got so tired, I just needed to eat meat. And then they just told these 10 people that, and then there's a very small chance that they will ever try vegan because there's one person that they know tried it but did it incorrectly. They didn't take an interest in their food. They didn't do research and eat whole vegetables like they were supposed to, and that's really the key.
Ah, okay. Well, those are some important things. So that someone can go on that path with some wisdom and not just be stumbling blindly, going, "Well, I don't eat anything that has a face," but there's other nuances that you're pointing out that I'm sure you list in your book, right?
Yes, I mean, I use. You know, the book isn't so much a you're transitioning into vegan book and here's what to do. The book is, it's basically just recipes. Well, I tell my story, which is, you know, what you told at the beginning and sort of the things I'm telling you now. So I do tell that story in the book.
Okay. And then I'm assuming by your recipes, people following your recipes would be led to be eating better and fresher foods and taking an interest in it.
Oh, absolutely. And that,
okay.
And that's, you know, that's, I wanted to make it simple and approachable and, you know, I there's a lot of sort of comfort type food in there so that, you know, it's not that foreign to someone who's, so it is a great book for people new to veganism or even people who aren't vegan, who just want to eat a little less meat. There's great, you know, meatball substitutes in here and tempeh sliders and pizzas, but there's also salads and a lot of whole vegetables and wholesome meals. So it's a great balance of fun stuff and approachable stuff and healthy stuff at the same time. But you know, I don't go into really I really try to stay away from quote unquote dogma or the
philosophy.
Oh, what's that?
I said, or the philosophy,
guess. Yes, or the philosophy and the nutritional stuff. I say that those are other books for way, way smarter people than me to write. I just know how to write recipes, and I know how to make fun food and, you know, write in a fun way. And that's another thing. You know, I try to inject a lot of humor and personality into the book. Again, so it's not preachy or...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's not preachy at all. I don't, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of non sequitur type things that, you know,
okay.
that are just things that I thought were funny in the moment, and I just spilled them out into the book.
Okay. I'm not sure that this has taken place, but knowing your passion for food and the quality of what you offer, I can't help but want to get a copy of your book that is Scratch and Sniff.
That is an amazing idea.
I know. That's why I do this show.
Wow. Yes. That a Scratch and Sniff cookbook. That is amazing.
Well,
I kind of approached something similar to that in this book where it's not Scratch and Sniff because I'm not smart enough to come up with an idea like that because that's genius. But what we did do is I don't know if you ever see these things called QR codes. They're these little barcode
absolutely.
Type things, right?
Yeah.
So, and you scan them with your smartphone or your iPad or your tablet type device. You just get these free QR reader apps. And so, for instance, you know, I have a salad. It's called the Beet Down. So it's a roasted beet salad.
Oh.
And there's a QR code there. So you scan the QR code, and a little video pops up on your phone or on your device, and it shows you, like, part of the process. Like, in this one, it shows you how to wrap the beet in foil for roasting it properly.
Oh.
'Cause some things in the book were more easily visually demonstrated than they were written in print. So I thought, well, also that I came to have this book because of my videos, so they should have a video element. So I came up with the idea to put these QR codes in it, and the publisher loved the idea because it was a very original idea. I'm pretty sure that there are no books that have that, not cookbooks anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, so they're scattered throughout the book. You're sitting there, you're looking at the book, you're like, oh, how do I wrap this beat correctly? You just scan the code, and you have it right there on your phone. There's a video. You know, the quick videos, they're not long videos, you know, maybe a minute tops, just to show you the process, and then you have it. And what's also awesome is that, if you get the iBook version, like, on your iPhone, instead of buying the hard copy, you can get an e-version where it goes to your iPad or your phone, and it's even a better presentation there, because you're reading it on your iPad, for instance, and then there's just a link. You just click on the link, you just tap the link with your finger, and then this video pops up, you know, just pops up out of the page, and you know, so I think it's pretty outside the box, as is Scratch and Sniff Cookbook, which I can't believe that doesn't exist yet, but I'm not gonna lose sleep for the next week thinking that, how did I not think of that? But that's genius.
Well, that's part of my job. When a guest comes on the show, I'm in a prayerful place that says, God, help me to serve this person. They're doing good in the world. Let me support them with more than just an interview. Because as we give pay forward, then it starts a habit where people start thinking it's fun to give to each other.
Yeah, what a novel thought.
So now, what I'm curious about, people sometimes get misconceptions about, you know, what it means to be a vegan and stuff. Can you talk about some of those that you've come across?
Sure.
Get in the way of people?
You know, the ones that you hear a lot are the sort of nutritional misconceptions where, you don't get enough. Where do you get your protein? You must not get enough protein. You must not get enough calcium, because calcium comes from milk, right? You know, you do get a lot of that. Or, where do you get your omega-3 fatty acids? You know, there's a lot of focus on that. You can get everything you need from plants that you get. You know, cows don't produce calcium. There's calcium in their milk because they're fed a calcium-rich diet. You know, they don't just make, their bodies don't make it. So why, you know, filter your calcium through a cow when you can just get it from kale or, you know, many leafy greens or, whole grains? Like, that all has calcium. So, and that goes the same for other nutrients as well. You know, a lot of it, it's odd that it sort of goes through the animal first and then gets to you, when you can just go to the ground and eat a vegetable and get what you need, pretty much.
Wow.
There's those misconceptions. And then there's the misconception about, you know, you only eat sticks and twigs and leaves, you know. But, you know, if you go, you know, like I was saying before, you go to a farmer's market, it's all vegetables, and there's every color of the rainbow. There's leafy greens. You know, there's a whole stand of leafy greens. There's a whole stand of different types of potatoes. There's different tomatoes, different apples. It's the variety. That's what they say. They say, you don't have variety. There's more variety when you focus on eating vegetables. And I'm not even saying being a vegan, but just adding more vegetables into your diet. It's that's a lot more than just, you know, beef, pork, chicken. You know, game. You know, there's not much variety when it comes to meat, but when it comes to vegetables, there's endless variety, endless. As far, you know, then there's grains, there's whole grains, quinoa, millet, brown rice, barley. It just goes on forever, as does, you know, legumes, where you get a lot of protein as well. How many different types of beans are there? How many different types of lentils are there? So the fact that people say you have an uninteresting or a boring diet, like you're just eating salads, that couldn't be further from the truth. And you know, who even if you only ate salad, you could eat salads with a different lettuce every day of your life. There's so many different types of greens.
Wow.
So there's more than enough variety. There's infinite variety, in the foods that you eat once you kind of seek them out. So I think that's very important that people start seeking them out, because it's all there. I mean, you don't have to have farmers markets at any grocery store. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, the way our food system is, you can get pretty much anything anywhere. So
Yeah. Oh, this is great. And I'm wondering, Brian, as you're talking about all this variety, there's something, I think it's one of your recipes, because we're getting wonderful information. And I'm guessing on some of the videos that we would click on, or maybe go to YouTube, as the sexy vegan,
yes.
I would just be curious about some of the ways that you bring this sensuality. And I think there was something about kale or something. I don't know. You know this better than I do. How are you doing that? And is it safe? Can we be sensual with our food and not have to turn ourselves in or something? Or?
Well, yes. Within the letter of the law, I think there is definitely there are definitely fun things you can do. I think you're talking about, I have a video for a massaged kale salad.
Ah.
So, yes, you very gently but gently massage your kale. you have to dress it first, actually, the way a massaged kale salad works. Because kale is a very tough green. You know, it's not that pleasant just to eat raw, although I do like adding it to salads raw, but a whole raw kale salad would be kind of tough to take down. And it does have a very strong taste, and it's kind of bitter. So one thing you can do with it, if you still want to eat it raw, where you get, like, because it is a nutritional powerhouse. It's like, I think it's like the best thing that you can eat on the planet is kale.
Wow.
So it just has everything. It has protein and calcium and all kinds of vitamins. It's a powerhouse. But anyway, so you take it off of its stem, and you kind of roughly chop it. And I then take those stems and I put them in my juicer when I'm making my morning vegetable juice. You roughly chop it up, put the kale in a bowl, and then you dress it. You squeeze a little lemon juice on it, about half a lemon, and a little less than a teaspoon of salt. And this is for a pretty big bowl, like a pretty large bunch of kale. This would be for.
Okay.
So then you have it with salt, and you have it with the lemon juice, and you can put a little olive oil on there if you want. You could do that later, but then you just start gently massaging the salt and the lemon juice around into the kale. And you think that, well, why would I do that? That seems really stupid. Like, why am I massaging my kale? But it actually does have an actual effect. I'm sure it has something to do with science. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it softens the kale, so it's not as tough. And it extracts all this bitter sort of liquid. The salt extracts liquid. So, the acid from the lemon juice breaks down the fibers, so it's not as tough. And then the salt extracts the bitter liquids. So after about 3 or 4 minutes of this massaging, this sensual massaging that you're doing to your kale, it has wilted, it kind of darkens a little bit, and it's softer. So what you want to do is take that and transfer that to a clean bowl, because you'll see that along the rim and in the bottom of the bowl that you were using, there's all these liquids, and it's bitter. You don't want that in your salad. So now you have this clean bowl with this kale that is now wilted, but it's still raw, so you're still getting the full, you know, nutritional potential out of it. And then you can add whatever you like. I like some shredded raw cabbage, some diced fresh mango, any type of nuts or seeds, sunflower seeds, pepitas, and then any nuts, vegetables, fruits that you want to put in there. Maybe do a little olive oil, a little sweetener like agave nectar, something like that, just to sort of balance out the acidity, and you have like a delicious salad that is incredibly healthy. I make at least one or two of those a week. Like, I'm addicted to these. Massaged kale salads. So,
It's
good to get your hands in there, be gentle, maybe a little sweet talk. That doesn't hurt.
Yes. And I'm just sitting here.
And then you get a great salad.
I would be curious, to have some of your listeners who follow this recipe, because as you're saying this stuff, and I'm just picking up on both your tenderness and your caring, as well as your sensuality.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here thinking, you're developing the secret weapon for men. They bring a date over, and they make this kale when they're massaging it, and the woman's sitting there going, oh, if he treats the kale that good,
yeah,
what is
look
he
at those
do
hands
to me?
What
yeah.
skillful hands he has. Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right. You know it is very impressive. Well, you know, I think for a man to cook, you know, anytime, because it's not, you know, not something that, you know, stereotypically you know, we do, but it's definitely something like that where it's very hands-on. You can, like, try to, you know, flex your forearm muscles a little bit more so she can see maybe some muscle while you're doing that.
Ooh.
I think would be effective.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, having a sort of date at home where you cook a meal together, has many, many benefits. Plus,
wow.
You're already at home, and the bed is nearby, so, you know, you're one step closer.
Yeah, I love it. Now, give us the website again. I'm sure people are going, oh,
yeah.
Got to get this book.
It's thesexyvegan.com.
Okay.
You can just Google it or just type in thesexyvegan.com. I have all of my recipe videos that I've been doing over the last 5 or 6 years are all up there. So, you know, the videos are a lot of fun, too. That's how I ended up getting the book. You know, they're just very quirky and edited in an interesting way. And, you know, there's definitely adult humor, so I would not recommend kids watch all of them.
Oh, okay.
So, without supervision, I suppose. Cause, you
there
know,
you go,
some,
yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's some, you know, there's adult humor. You know, I'm just, as I say, I'm an ordinary dude. I talk like an ordinary dude. Sometimes an F-bomb comes out. Who knows? Sometimes I make a sexual innuendo. What are you going to do? But, you know, so all the videos are there on the website, links to the book, and, you know, that's where you want to go to get all updates. And I'll be doing some events in the Los Angeles area. There's a Los Angeles Vegan Beer Fest, which is a blast, and I'll be guest chefing on one of the food trucks there, the Seabirds food truck.
Wow.
And then we have an Earth Day Festival.
Okay.
I know Earth Day has already passed, but there's one coming up. It's called World Fest, which is in Tarzana, and I'll be doing a demo. Actually, I think I'm going to be doing the massaged kale salad as a recipe demo for a presentation that I'll be doing there. So,
yeah,
go to my website and follow all the Twitter and Facebook stuff. That's where I, you know, put all my information.
Oh, good. And this one coming up in Tarzana, do you have dates on that yet?
Yes, I'm sorry. Los Angeles Vegan Beer Fest is Saturday, May 12th, and that's from 1 till 6 or 7 at night. And then World Fest is the one in Tarzana. That is May 20th, and that's like an all-day event. That's a great event, too. There's tons of vegetarian, vegan food vendors there, live bands. There's live bands at both of these events. There's lots of speakers and, you know, celebrity environmental-type you know, proponents who will be speaking. So World Fest is a great event, and as is the Los Angeles Vegan Beer Fest. There's over 50 different vegan breweries who come out for it. There's five or six different all-vegan food trucks. You know, these food trucks are like a phenomenon now. They're everywhere. I see a new food truck on the freeway every day. So so there's a bunch of vegan ones. So they're all there. It's a really great event. So if anybody who's listening to this is in Los Angeles in the next month, you definitely want to check out both of these events because they're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and having you've been in Los Angeles 10 years, I mean, my brief visits out there, the vegan trucks, I mean, there's times where the traffic is moving so slow, people might just decide to stop and then go visit the vegan truck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, man, I wish there was a big truck with food on. Oh, wait, there's one right there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
This is good.
Yeah.
So,
it's really quite interesting, the whole food truck phenomenon.
I love it.
It's almost oversaturated at this point. Like, people say, dude, you should open up a food truck. I'm like, no way. There's too much competition now. It's sort of you know, it's oversaturated. And there's too, there's so many good ones, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah, well, I would hope that some of those folks would have the wisdom to consider having you as a consultant or carrying your books on their trucks.
Yeah, well, I'm like I said, I'm going to be guest chefing on one of the trucks, and I'm going to see how the whole operation works.
Yeah.
And it should be fun. I haven't worked on it in a restaurant situation in a long time, and I've never worked on a food truck. So that's little tiny cramped quarters, and you're putting out massive amounts of food. So
sure.
It should be interesting. So I'll be serving the My Balls recipe from the book, which is a faux meatball made of tempeh and walnuts, and also a black bean burger, little sliders. So that's what I'll be serving from my end on that book. They also have the truck I'm working on. It's called Seabirds. They make these deep fried avocado tacos. So the taco doesn't have any meat or any tofu or anything in it. They batter and deep fry pieces of avocado and put them in a tortilla with salsa and cabbage. They're awesome.
Mmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, see now, when people start to find out, because the way it's been in the media or different places, if someone's being a vegan, vegetarian, it's sort of like, geez, what bet did you lose? You're in for a life of dullness and no one's going to like you. And, oh, how can you stand yourself?
Yeah, you become sort of a social pariah in many ways. But, yeah, I don't know. In Los Angeles, it's not that difficult. There's vegan restaurants everywhere. Most people know what veganism is.
Oh, good.
So, it's but, you know,
on.
I go home to visit Pennsylvania. I'll go to, a lot of my friends are back on the East Coast. And I'll go to Pennsylvania. It's very rural. And I'll go for a wedding. So, for instance, I was at a wedding one time, and they told the caterer that there was somebody who was vegan there, and they didn't even know what that was. They were like, what is that? So they explained, you know, they don't eat any animal products.
So what color skin is vegan, huh?
What's that?
I said, what color skin is vegan?
Exactly. Is that a planet? Was that in Star Trek? I don't remember. That was V'ger. But yes, they think it's a solar system. But they don't understand that.
Yeah.
It just hasn't perforated that area yet, penetrated that area yet. But
yeah,
that's
well,
okay.
With
but,
your story of regaining your health, there's more and more overweight, ill people, diabetes, I mean, the kids, on and on.
Yeah,
So to me, you can go back to those folks with a very compelling story.
Absolutely.
And have them experience food that knock your socks off delicious.
Right.
So,
you're absolutely right. And I do have fantasies of doing that, but I hate winter.
Okay.
So I want to stay here.
It's a seasonal thing for you.
Yeah. I'm
okay.
Done with snow. I had snow for most of my life, and I'm totally done with snow. But I was saying something then, and then I don't know.
Yeah, well, what I want to check in with you about, since you're talking about this and mentioned that you'd be going back to places and dealing with folks that aren't very much into this, help the rest of us. We might be taking a girl on a date and she's not into this yet, or we may have a group of friends that aren't into it. What do we do for some dishes for our non-vegan friends?
Oh, yeah, that's a fantastic question. As far as like, you know, that's sort of how a lot of the recipes in my book were made with that thought in mind. There's recipes in here. There's one. What I wouldn't recommend, making like a veggie burger and saying, here's a veggie burger. They'll eat it and they'll say, oh, this is nice, but it's not, you know, it's not meat. It's too soon to introduce like meat substitutes. You want to make dishes that can be reminiscent of something that they're used to, but not try to exactly mimic meat. Mimicking the texture of meat is very difficult to do. So the recipe in this book that I say is the go-to one for this situation is the lasagna folonaise. So it's bolognese. It's a faux bolognese. I make this sort of like meaty sausage crumble out of crumbled tofu. I crumble the tofu up. I season it with fennel seeds and garlic and all these Italian spices, and then bake it. And then it gets this like meaty type texture. So when you eat it, if you just took the tofu and you ate it, you say, oh yeah, it kind of has a little bit of a texture, and I could taste the, you know, I could see how you say that it tastes kind of like sausage, but this isn't sausage. Okay, so that's fine. So you add that to your tomato sauce, and then I make a ricotta cheese, but it's out of cashews and artichoke hearts, and you blend it all together, and it becomes a sort of creamy, very light, but you can flavor it, and it's like ricotta cheese. It has the same consistency. So you'd eat it, and you'd think, well, this sort of, I could see how you're saying that this is like ricotta cheese, but it's not ricotta cheese. I know that. Okay, that's fine. So now you take your fake bolognese sauce and your fake ricotta cheese, and you layer it into a lasagna, and you bake it. And then it comes out of the oven, and it smells like lasagna, and it smells like meat because the fennel seeds are making this aroma that you're like, man, that smells like a meaty lasagna. So now, before you've even tasted it, you've looked at it, it looks like lasagna, you've smelled it, it smells like lasagna, and it smells like meat. So like half the battle is already done in the brain. Like you said earlier, you eat with your eyes first. You also eat with your nose first.
Yeah.
So your nose is like right on par with the eyes. So now half the battle is already done. You have something that looks and smells just like lasagna. So then when you taste it, when you cut into it, you see this texture, you see this creaminess, you see these these chunks of things that look kind of like meat, but it's not, you know, it's not, but you don't know because you taste it, and now all of these things, all of this stimuli has all come together in your head, and when you taste it, you're like, damn, that is lasagna. Like, that tastes like lasagna. And I took it to a party not too long ago, to a potluck, and I was the only vegan there, so I brought a vegan dish, and everybody knew that it was going to be a vegan dish. So even after the meal was over, everybody stuffed themselves with all this food, and everybody, even the meat eaters, were scraping my casserole, trying to get every last bit of that lasagna. And I wish I had taken, like, secret video of that, because that alone would sell many, many books.
Yes.
Yeah. If you only get that recipe out of this book, it is worth the price of admission, because
wow,
it is just the go-to recipe. It's awesome.
Wow.
If I do say so myself.
Yeah, this is fabulous.
Thank you.
Gosh, Brian, we've got about 2 minutes left, and so I want to kind of give you free rein, but keep it within 2 minutes so that we can kind of give any information that you want that you'd like us to know about
sure.
you or
I mean,
the book.
We covered a lot of it. You know, the book, you get it at thesexyvegan.com, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, you know, all the bookstores, whatever ones of those are left. And so you can follow me on Twitter, on Facebook. Just Google The Sexy Vegan. You'll find everything that you need to know. I'm the only thing that comes up. And you can check out all my videos. I also work for a food delivery service in Los Angeles. It's called Veggin' Out. We deliver fresh, fully prepared vegan meals right to your doorstep. It's a weekly service. It's really affordable and great, and I'm the executive chef there. And really just, you know, like, the most important message is take an interest in your food, people. You're listening to me. Take an interest in your food. Go buy some broccoli. Go buy some kale. Steam it. Squeeze some lemon juice on it, a little salt and pepper, and eat it. It's delicious. You know, don't overcook your vegetables. That's another thing. I think that's why a lot of people, you know, think that they don't like vegetables, because their moms served them canned green beans. But you do like green beans. You just haven't eaten the right ones. So get out there, get fresh vegetables. That's your first step. Prepare them, and go from there.
Mm.
That's all I got to say, Kenneth.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I had trouble with some vegetables that my mom took out of a can, and it would just heat and then in the liquid and put on a plate.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And so your book takes it to another level. It's not just a vegetable. My gosh, vegetables like different dressings. They like different seasonings.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you got something delicious.
Yes.
Folks, yeah, check out the sexyvegan.com.
Yes.
Because you want to be sexy and
you
want to be healthy. So,
everything is good about that. Sexy, healthy, what's bad? Nothing's bad about that. It's great.
It's perfect, so, yes.
Sexy Vegan Cookbook. Extraordinary food from an ordinary dude.
I love it. Brian, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come visit with us. This is exquisite. I just wish you great fortune and lots of people that follow your path to healthier living and more sensual enjoyment of their lives.
Absolutely, and thank you. Same to you. I think what you're doing with your show here is really amazing.
Good.
And so keep on keeping on.
We will. And to you, Brian, to our beloved listeners, as we wrap up, I want to say God bless and goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Let go.